Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 18. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
Thanks for reading that, Felicity. If you grabbed a handout on the way in, I don't have one here. There's an outline you can follow along with on the back. There's also going to be a time for questions after the sermon. So if I say something that you'd like clarification on, you can ask a question at the end. I do just want to point out, we're going to come back to this passage again next week and focus on Jesus' teaching on prayer. So if you feel like I skip over a whole section, that's deliberate, and we'll come back and look at it next week. But how about we pray? Gracious God, we ask now that you would grow us, that you would teach us, that you would transform us by your word for your glory. Amen. Well, friends, Jesus spoke these words, and God has preserved these words, and we now read these words so that we might live rightly. Now, Jesus has had a lot to say about righteousness in the Sermon on the Mount. And friends, he wants you to live a righteous life, a good life, a life that pleases your Heavenly Father. But not only does Jesus want you to do the right thing, he also wants you to be rewarded for doing the right thing. Now, Jesus promises three times in this passage that his Father and our Father will reward those who do what is right. But this morning, Jesus teaches us that the way to do what is right and the way for us to be rewarded for doing what is right comes down to our motives. And that's because it's entirely possible to do the right thing with a wrong motivation. And we only need to look at the corporate advertising world to see that, don't we? Have you noticed how many companies today are trying to appear morally good to their customers? You can turn on the TV and this one's hard to see. This is a Toyota ad. But you don't really notice the cars, do you? The focus is on the Paralympians training for the Paralympics because Toyota wants you to know that they care. Or you can go to Zimbrero's and plastered across the wall is the message, let's beat world hunger. They want you to know that they'll donate a meal to someone in need for every burrito that you buy that you probably don't need. Or you can get to the checkout at Woolies and you'll be invited to round up your total to the nearest dollar for charity. This is all because companies want to be seen to be good. But of course, we all know there's an ulterior motive. And the only reason these companies do good to others is because it does good for sales. On its website, the Cancer Council invites corporate partnerships, corporate sponsors, and the thing that they hold out, the promises they hold out to potential partners, is the hope of enhancing your brand, stimulating sales, and increasing market share. Who cares about curing cancer? There are profits to be made. Because friends, we'll see. It's entirely possible to do the right thing with wrong motivations. Now, does it really matter that Woolies gets a little boost even when it's your money that's being rounded up? They are still giving the money to charity, aren't they? A good deed is still good, even if it comes with mixed motives, right? That might be true. But friends, when it comes to our relationship with God, Jesus teaches us this morning that motives matter. And so he urges us to be careful. Be careful, says Jesus in verse 1. Not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Now, Jesus goes on to apply this principle to three different situations. He talks about giving to the needy, he talks about prayer, and he talks about fasting. But if we understand verse 1, we understand the whole passage. And so we're going to break this down into three questions. First, we need to know what Jesus means when he says, practice your righteousness. Secondly, we need to know who it is that should see our righteousness. And finally, how we can be rewarded for righteousness. But we begin with Jesus' expectation that righteousness is something that we practice. Now, that's not practice in the sense of learning something new, like you might practice piano or go to netball practice. Practice here simply means that righteousness is something that you do. You don't just think about being righteous. It's not enough to love the idea of righteousness. Righteousness is something that you do. And Jesus singles out three things that God's people do. And notice these are things that flow out of a relationship with God. You don't do these things to become accepted by God. You do them because you already have a relationship with God. If you know God, you will do them. And that's why in verse 2, Jesus doesn't say if you give to the needy, but when you give to the needy. There's no question. We were needy and God gave to us. And so, of course, we're going to be the kind of people that give to others in need. I don't even need to tell you to do that. You were dead in your sins and God gave you his Son. How could we then not go and show this kind of grace to others? Jesus expects that we will give to the needy. Similarly, in verse 5, Jesus says, when you pray. He doesn't even entertain the idea that there could be people who claim to have a relationship with God and yet don't talk to him. That wouldn't make sense. How could that be? A relationship is not a relationship unless it's actually expressed. And so Jesus says, when you pray. And down in verse 16, Jesus also assumes that people in his kingdom will fast. Now, I find this one interesting because my hunch is that most of you probably don't fast, at least not for spiritual reasons. You might fast to lose weight, but in the Bible, fasting is about a posture before God. It's about expressing guilt and repentance, like when Saul was confronted by Jesus on the Damascus Road. And he fasted for 3 days until Ananias was sent to him and Saul was converted. Other times we see people fast to express their dependence on God, to commit their plans to him. In Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas, they appoint elders in a bunch of churches and then they commit these elders to God with prayer and fasting. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, fasting is seen as a regular part of the lives of God's people. And so my question is, why don't we fast? I'll admit, I've never actually fasted. And that's not because I'm convinced that we shouldn't. Partly it's because I haven't had it modeled to me, but mostly I think it's because I simply am not that devoted to prayer. In my life, my priorities are all mixed. I'll occasionally skip sleep to exercise. I'll sometimes skip food because I'm smashing through my things to do list, but I'll let almost anything get in the way of prayer. And that's because my sinful heart says I don't need God. Now, friends, if we genuinely believe that we need God, we will pray. And if we're serious about prayer, it makes sense that we would sometimes fast to do that. Now, there's no law saying we must, but Jesus assumes we will, and so I can't help but think that we're missing out for neglecting this. But righteousness is something that we do. That's our point. Jesus assumes that we will fast and pray and give to the needy. And clearly, this is not an exhaustive list. There are lots of things that Christians do that flow out of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. But the big focus on this passage is not so much what we do, but why we do it. And particularly about who we are practicing our righteousness for. Jesus says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. And that's because Jesus knows how tempted we are to seek the praise of people. He knows how much we love it when people notice us and praise us. He knows how much we love it when people praise us for our generosity as we give to charity. And the charities know this too. They know how much you love it. And that's why they employ good-looking people to stand in the shopping centres and ask for your money. Have you noticed this? They're always young, attractive people. Why is that? Because we want their praise. There are blokes who would murder their mothers if it meant a young, attractive woman is going to tell them how wonderful they are. The charities know that and they exploit it. It's flirt to convert. But friends, when it comes to our giving, Jesus calls it hypocrisy. It's pretending to be something we're not. Pretending to be doing something to please God, when in reality, We're trying to please people. We're craving their praise. We want their well done, good and faithful servant. And just as hypocritical is performance prayer, where we pray publicly so that other people will hear us and think highly of us. Or theater fasting, where we fast as if we're devoting ourselves to God, but where deep down we just can't wait for someone to notice the fact that we're fasting. Jesus knows how tempted we are by these things. He knows how much we live for the likes. He knows how much we crave the glory and the honor and the praise of people. I can't remember who the player was, but I remember seeing an interview with one of the NRL players back in 2020 when they had to play games in empty stadiums because of the lockdowns. And whoever this player was, they were expressing that they were genuinely struggling to be motivated on the field because there was no one cheering for them. If a footy player scores a try on the field but there's no one there to see it, is it really worth it? And clearly for him, it wasn't. The love of the game was not enough. He needed the praise. He wanted the glory. But friends, we're just the same. Jesus knows we love people's praise. And so he tells us to be careful. Don't be a hypocrite. If you're doing something for God, do it with an audience of one. When you're fasting, get dressed and ready like you normally would. When you're praying, go into your room and shut the door. When you're giving, do it secretly. No one else needs to notice. God sees, and that's all that matters. Now, I do want to point out that Jesus is not saying that everything we do for God must be done in secret. We're not the CIA. In fact, just a chapter back, Jesus tells us to let your light shine before others that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Clearly, he doesn't intend for us to do everything in secret. There are times where it is good for others to see our good deeds so that they glorify God, not that they glorify us. And there are times where it is impossible for you to do something to practice your righteousness without being seen. Now, I'm legally blind, so I can preach without seeing you, but you can't really not notice me. I am practicing my righteousness. I'm doing something now out of my relationship with God, and it's inevitable that you're going to see me. I can't do this in secret, but that's okay. Because clearly what Jesus has in mind is our motives. It's not whether or not we are seen, but whether or not we need to be seen. And so the safeguard is to practice our righteousness in secret where we can. But ultimately, what Jesus invites us to this morning is to put our motives under the microscope. And so friends, let me ask you, are you more likely to give when there's someone there to receive it, to witness it? Do you find yourself praying more often in public than you actually do in private? Are your prayers a performance or genuine petition? Now, when you fast, do you feel that burning desire to tell someone that you're fasting? Or to think more broadly about things that flow out of our relationship with God? Was your baptism, was it a sign of genuine faith, or was it to be seen by others? Can you share the gospel with someone without telling other people that you did? Are you more likely to say yes to a ministry role where people will notice and thank you rather than something behind the scenes and forgotten. Who is the real audience for your righteousness? Or to put it another way, what reward are you seeking? Jesus says three times in this passage that if we practice our righteousness to be seen by others, we will receive a reward. But it's the kind of reward you get when you don't get the real reward. This Friday, my kids will do their school cross-country race. And I know they're going to come home with a ribbon. It won't be a first-place ribbon, or a second or a third place. It'll be one of these ribbons, the participation ribbon, the reward you get when you don't get one of the real rewards. And that's fine. But this is the kind of reward you get when you do good to be seen by others. If we play to the crowd, we will get our reward in full. The crowd will love it. But we will not get anything from God. But if we play for an audience of one, if we practice our righteousness to be seen by God and God alone, Jesus says three times that your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The big question is, what's the reward? And I think here it's worth distinguishing between two kinds of rewards, because there are natural rewards and there are artificial rewards. A natural reward is where the reward flows directly from the activity. And an excellent example is your veggie patch, your veggie garden at home, if you've got one. If you work hard, if you do the hard work of pulling out the weeds and preparing the soil, probably the reverse order, prepare the soil, pull out the weeds, water, tend, care for your crop, you will reap the reward at harvest time. And that reward flows directly from your work. It's a natural reward. But there are also artificial rewards, aren't there? And these are where there is no real connection between the reward and the activity. And an example of this is the Olympics. This is how we reward Olympians. We say, if you can run from this white line to that white line faster than anybody else, we will give you a gold medal. And that's completely artificial. There is nothing, no natural connection between running really fast and a gold medal. We've just created that. There are natural rewards and there are artificial rewards. And when we hear Jesus saying that our Father in heaven will reward us for our service to him, lots of people imagine an artificial reward. They imagine that God will reward us in some material way. Maybe he will make our lives a bit easier. Maybe he will bless our plans. Or they think that maybe that saying God will give us a higher status in the new creation, a higher rank in heaven. But do you see that that would lead us straight back into the hypocrisy that Jesus is warning us about? Giving to the needy in order to get some other reward from God is essentially no different from giving to the needy in order to get a reward from people. They're both hypocrisy. Both of them turn loving our neighbors into loving ourselves. And that's because the reward Jesus is talking about is a natural one. Because when we serve God, we get the reward of pleasing him. When we invest in our relationship with God, we reap the reward, the benefit of a better relationship with him. And friends, there is nothing better in the whole world than to have a relationship with the living God. He is our reward. Not things that God gives us, but God himself. And so if you play to the crowd, you will get their praise and nothing else. You'll get a few people who think highly of you for a short time, and then you'll probably feel the pressure to continue to present this image of yourself as righteous, and eventually they'll see you for who you really are, and your reward will be gone. But friends, if you play to an audience of one, if you serve God for God's sake, if you practice your righteousness without caring what anyone else thinks, but wholly devoted to what God thinks, friends, you'll get the most precious reward there is. You'll get Him. Let me pray. Father, we are a people of mixed motives. Even while we want to serve you, we are so easily distracted by what we might get from other people. We love the praise of others. We love people noticing us and thinking highly of us. Now, Lord, we pray that you would help us be people who play for an audience of one. We pray that in all that we do, we would seek to be pleasing you, our Heavenly Father. Forgive us for the times where we have been hypocrites, where we do things in public so that people notice us. Help us to see that there is a better reward, a greater reward, a more precious thing. Help us to be satisfied by pleasing you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.